I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 to 19 in a bit. Judaism and Christianity are as inseparable as a seed and its flower, or as a tree and its fruit. And nowhere can the organic relationship between the two be observed more clearly than in the Jewish Passover and in the Last Supper, which we are going to be observing today. Because it was ordained by our Lord when he and his 12 disciples sat around the Passover table when he instituted the Lord's Supper. So Matthew 26, verses 17 to 19, it says, "Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, "The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples." So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover." Now, because we have the New Testament, we can understand the Passover. And at the same time, the deepest meaning of the Lord's Supper cannot be understood completely without the historic background of the Passover. Israel's deliverance from Egyptian bondage is the central point in Jewish history and worship, even as Calvary is the central point in the Christian faith. The Jews became a nation after that first Passover, when they were in the wilderness. And because of Calvary, the work of redemption was accomplished by Jesus when he shed his own blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Just as the Lord's Supper has the symbols of bread and wine, which represent the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus, so Passover has symbols also. First, there's a glass of salt water representing the Red Sea through which God led his people. It's also reminiscent of the tears of the Hebrew slaves in Egypt. Also prominent is the shank bone of a lamb in place of a real lamb that was commanded to be eaten in every Jewish household on that first Passover. They don't eat a lamb anymore. There's just a shank bone present. They keep one as a reminder. And this is I better go back. I think I skipped something. This bone is an eternal reminder that it was the blood of the lamb sprinkled on the doorposts of every Jewish home which stood between them and death on that Passover night, when God poured out his anger on the firstborn of Egypt. Then there were four cups of red wine, symbolizing the blood of the lamb, and bitter herbs, usually horseradish, bringing tears to the eyes of the participants to remind them of the bitterness of slavery. Also, the matzah, unleavened bread baked in cakes, and they had three of them, and one of them was broken in half by the father of the family, and one of the halves was also broken up and shared by all present. The other half was hidden away till the end of the meal. And this brings us to the first Lord's Supper instituted by our Lord. Luke 22, verse 15 says, "Then he said to them, 'With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" Jesus was eagerly looking forward to showing his disciples the fulfillment of the Passover. He broke the matzah bread just like Jews had done for 15 centuries before that and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. Now at last, the full significance of Israel's deliverance from Egypt was uncovered. Here was the Lamb of God, the Messiah himself, about to shed his own innocent blood on the cross, that all who believed in him may be set free from the Egypt of sin and darkness and be allowed to live new lives in the glorious light of the gospel. Just like that hidden piece of matzah bread was eaten later at the end of the Passover meal, so Jesus came later to allow his body to be broken for all people. 1 Corinthians 11:25 says, in the same way, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The red wine on the Passover table represents the blood of the Lamb that saved the children of Israel from the death angel. Jesus, too, blessed the wine and drank it with his disciples. Jesus himself is the final reality of what the Passover lamb sought to convey originally. It is Jesus' blood that saves Jews and Gentiles alike from the death of sin and eternal condemnation and makes the believer a child of God. I wonder, did the disciples get it right away as soon as Jesus explained it to them? Or did they only really catch on fully after he was resurrected? In any case, that would have been an interesting meal to be a part of. I would say it would have been an eye-opening experience, to say the least. But the story of Passover and the Lord's Supper would be incomplete without the resurrection of our Lord. Jesus' life didn't end on a cross and burial in a borrowed tomb. If it had, the cross would represent a beautiful but tragic life. But Jesus arose the victor over death, raised up by the power of God, so that his Holy One would not see corruption, according to Psalm 16, verse 10. God's gift of salvation to all mankind is the greatest thing that has ever occurred on this earth. Nothing else compares. Nothing else even comes close. All we have to do is ask for it in repentance and receive it in gratitude and great joy. John 1, verse 29 says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And 1 Corinthians 15:20 to 22. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. And verses 55 to 57. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.